Chapter 4, Thou Shalt Not. With Shabbat in full throttle, the rabbi felt impressed to help the newest member of his congregation, his grandson, to understand more about the law of Moses. With a stern and convicting voice, taking aim squarely at his new student, the rabbi begins to enumerate the commandments. After the first five were quoted, he noticed that Zophar was beginning to lose interest. Trying again to help his grandson, the rabbi's voice got louder and louder with the passing of each commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Next, the rabbi continued, thou shalt not steal. By the time the rabbi got to this commandment, Zophar was under such deep conviction of sin, he began to look away from him onto the floor. Thinking Zophar was just bored from his studies, like any good teacher, the rabbi called out even more intensely, now Zophar, can you quote the commandment I just mentioned? Still looking away from the rabbi and trying not to be disrespectful all at the same time, Zophar attempted to answer him, thou shalt not. Trying to help him continue the answer, the rabbi demanded, thou shalt not what? With all the velocity that a 10-year-old could muster, Zophar got up from his seat and ran out the door yelling, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. With everyone startled by the chaos, Milka was the first to follow her grandson out the door. What is it? What is it? Zoe, what is it? Calling as she followed. She knew exactly where he was headed. With no way to finish the interrupted service, everyone filed out the door to see what was happening. As the crowd of about 15 people now stood near the weathered, worn barn door, Milka and the rabbi walked inside to see how they might console their only grandson. This time, the rabbi spoke first. Zophar, you know we love you. What happened? What made you run out of the synagogue? I sinned. Now addressing the rabbi, I sinned, Grandpa, I sinned. And I sinned against you, and I sinned against Jehovah. I'm sorry, Grandpa. I'm so sorry. Can you forgive me? Unaware of what the sin was and thinking in his heart, what could a 10-year-old boy do? The rabbi asked him, my son, what did you do? Without saying a word, Zophar shoos Whitey away from the water trough and reaches down for the coins. Startled at the partially muddied coins being shown to him, the rabbi said, where did you get these? Now, crying even more, Zophar answers, from you. I took them from you. The rabbi remembered the coins that were scattered the day before on the table and asked Zophar, you took the coins I got from selling sacrifices for the temple? Looking at the ground, again sobbing, he whispers, yes, Rabbi. Because of his grandson's broken spirit and contrite heart, he quickly forgives him. And, as any good teacher would do, given this scenario, he proceeds to teach this lad a brand new lesson right out of the Torah. Let's see here, he begins. If a man stole an ox, he was to restore it 5 times. And if he stole a sheep, he was to restore it 4 times. I guess a coin is closer in size to a sheep than to an ox, wouldn't you say, Zophar? What else could Zophar answer his grandfather but, uh-huh. Then you owe me 4 days of cleaning out the barn, wouldn't you say? Concluded the rabbi. But wait, weren't there 4 corns that were taken, Zophar? Again, Zophar answers, uh-huh. Well then, you must owe me 4 times 4 days to clean out the barn, right? Zophar now understood that there was a penalty connected with his sin. And even if there wasn't a penalty, he was so sorry for what he had done and all the sorrow it brought. He was only too glad to pay the rabbi for what he had now owed him. The next morning, after an almost sleepless night, the rabbi reflected on all that occurred the day before. As he was collecting his thoughts, he concluded that, with all the information he gave Zophar about his sin and the penalty for sin, he missed telling him the reason there were sacrificial offerings to begin with. Deliberating again, he thought, Let the boy spend the next 16 days to see how Jehovah hates sin, and then I will tell him about sacrifices. Then he will see and understand. But what the rabbi didn't know was, he was not the only one that did some reasoning that night. Zophar did some reasoning too, and his sorrow was turned into joy once he concluded that as long as he could spend time with Whitey, he'd gladly labor in the barn for as long as the rabbi wanted his punishment to last. Chapter 5. No Kisses Goodbye. As time went on that year, Milcah unexpectedly died. The rabbi got forgetful, and Whitey got a lot plumper from Zophar's love and care. For some reason, they never went up to Jerusalem for Sukkoth. All Zophar could figure was the rabbi didn't go because he forgot or because Milcah died. Either way, he was determined not to ask. With a milder winter than the year before, the next 6 months passed by rapidly. Springtime and excitement filled the air. This was birthday month for Zophar and Whitey. And, almost more important to Zophar than that, this was Passover month. If he didn't forget, Zophar thought, he and the rabbi would go back to Jerusalem for the second time. Maybe the rabbi will make a celebration for my birthday when we're at Jerusalem. Back to reality, he heard, take this rope and tie it around Emmanuel's neck. After carefully examining the rope that the rabbi placed in his hand, Zophar remembered it was the exact same rope he used months earlier to lasso the goat to the fence to save Whitey's life. Why are we tying up Whitey, Grandpa? Zophar asked. He's going with us up to Jerusalem, the rabbi muttered back. Zophar was ecstatic. I was right, he thought. Now we'll celebrate together, the rabbi, me, and Whitey. Grab that tarp over there, said the rabbi. It looks like rain. Put it in the ass's saddle and tie that water bottle better. We don't want to lose it. After about an hour, they were packed and ready to go. This time, sadly, there were no goodbye kisses from Grandma. Halfway there. About halfway to Jerusalem, with no one saying much of anything, the rabbi calls out to Zophar, slow down! You are too far ahead of me! See that tree over there? Tie off the ass and the lamb. Okay, Grandpa, Zophar calls back and proceeds to obey his grandfather's wishes. Oh, this trip for this old man gets harder and harder every year, the rabbi said. Then, after a long breath, he continues his sentence. Well, except for last year, when you came with me. I'm with you again, Grandpa, Zophar answers, as they both find solace together, simultaneously sitting down onto the ground. Zophar has waited a long time to ask the rabbi a question and thinks, now would be a good time to ask. Rabbi? Yes, my son, what is it? The rabbi replies. Rabbi, when Grandma died, were her sins atoned for? This question jolted the rabbi's heart and memory concluded, that was what I was supposed to tell Zophar the day after he sinned. Oh, I forgot. I never told him, never. Then the rabbi says to Zophar, I'm glad one of us has a good memory. What do you mean? Zophar interjects. Never mind, the rabbi finishes. Anyway, like I was telling you, referring back to Zophar's sin about 9 months earlier, there is a penalty for sin. Jehovah hates sin. He has told us in the scriptures that we are to get clean from our sin. We are to get clean from year to year by shedding the blood of unblemished animals. Once a year, the high priest goes into the temple to atone for our sins. Moses said, I have given blood to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. How about Grandma? Zophar quickly asked, was the blood shed for her? Yes, my son, the rabbi continued. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for our sins. Your mother, my daughter, and your father, too, are all forgiven and are all waiting for the Messiah to come to resurrect them. I will see them again when the Messiah comes? Zophar asked. You will, you will. When Messiah comes, you will, said the rabbi. If we die the death of the righteous, we will die in peace. And when Messiah comes, he will resurrect us. There is hope. Hope in the resurrection. Now, let us be going. There's not a lot of light left. Let us go. Chapter 6, The Passover. Still traveling on the way to Jerusalem, Zophar slows down to ask the rabbi another question. If we go to Jerusalem for the Day of Atonement during Sukkoth, why are we going now? What, more questions? The rabbi answered. I don't understand, Zophar said. If our sins get atoned for at Sukkoth, why are we going again for the Passover? The rabbi thought, if I don't answer his questions now, he'll keep asking me all the way into town. Okay, let me answer you. Just before Moses led us out of Egypt, Pharaoh wouldn't let us go. I know that part, Grandpa, Zophar interrupted. You asked me, now let me tell you, the rabbi finished. Now, where was I? Oh, yeah. Jehovah told Moses to stay indoors that night to protect them from the angel of death. That angel was sent by God to come into Egypt to kill the firstborn child of each family. Thinking that he was the firstborn and only child in his family, Zophar had to interrupt the rabbi again. Did they all die? The rabbi answered without a hitch, not the ones with the blood on the lintels of the door. You know, where we place the mezuzah. We go up to Jerusalem every year to remember our great deliverance from Pharaoh and Egyptian bondage. And we offer a sacrifice to remember we were saved with blood from the death angel. Look, Grandpa, we're almost there, Zophar said. Almost, the rabbi said. Almost. The price. Safely inside Jerusalem, on the way to the marketplace, Zophar, overhearing the rabbi haggling with a stranger, lends his ear to the conversation. That's too much, the stranger says. That's too much. Look at him, the rabbi says, as he points in Zophar's direction. I can't afford that price, the stranger continued. Fed up with the man's rantings, the rabbi explodes. Did you sin? The stranger said, what? The rabbi repeated himself, well, did you sin? Did you sin against Jehovah? The stranger answered the rabbi with the only answer he could come up with, the truth. Yes, I have sinned against Jehovah. Real calm now, the rabbi points again in Zophar's direction and says, well, that's why you need the lamb, at a fair price, may I add. All of a sudden, Zophar panics and figures out what's happening. We're not here to celebrate birthdays, Whitey. We're here to sell you. Zophar listens more intently as the two men continue to haggle. I can't meet your price, the stranger finished. Well, I can't please you, the rabbi finished. As he was walking away from the stranger, the rabbi threw him one last zinger. Not even Jehovah could please you. Now, back with Zophar, the rabbi says, the nerve of some people. Almost crying, Zophar says to the rabbi, are you going to sell Whitey? I mean Emmanuel, Grandpa? Sure. What do you think I'm here for? The rabbi answers. With tears running down his face, Zophar continues, I thought we were here for the Passover and to celebrate my and Whitey's birthday. Realizing that Zophar missed the whole point of coming to Jerusalem, he gently says, well, that too. But why do you think I own a farm and have so many animals? I thought you liked them, Zophar answered. Well, I do like them, the rabbi continued, because when I don't eat them, I sell them for sin offerings. Last year was my best year ever. I sold many animals. I guess our people did a lot of sins that year. Where do you think I got all that gelt from? Remember? The gelt that you stole from me. Concerned for Whitey's welfare, Zophar says, if that man didn't buy him, he won't have to be sold, will he, Grandpa? Listen, the rabbi said, Emmanuel is just an animal, And he's just the right age. Look at him. He's so plump. Not one scratch on him. I'll get a good sum for your Whitey. Then the rabbi thinks to himself, why did we let the boy name the animal to begin with? Doesn't he see that he's just a beast, a sacrifice to offer to Jehovah? While the rabbi was thinking, Zophar came up with an offer for him. In his best speaking voice, Zophar asked, Rabbi, if no one buys him, can I take him back home? Thinking this was a trick question, the rabbi strokes his beard and answers, well, I guess. But even if there is one buyer, I'm gonna sell. That's why he came, you know. Relieved, Zophar starts to hug Whitey, and making sure the rabbi is listening to his conversation, says, the rabbi promised, Whitey, you can come home with me. No sinners, please. Zophar did his best that day to avoid as many people as possible. When he saw the rabbi talking to someone, he walked as far away from them as possible, hoping it would be harder for someone to see Whitey's beauty. One time, hoping the rabbi didn't get upset, he walked around the corner, leaving the ass all by himself where he was standing. Exhausted in his attempt to hide Whitey, Zophar finally prayed, Lord, please keep all sinners out of our path. He knew that his prayer was truly an impossibility, for there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But he prayed it anyway. By the end of the day, they settled down in a stable for the following day's solemn preparation of the Passover. The next morning, hearing a commotion, Zophar is startled awake from his sleep. Wiping his eyes, he calls out, Rabbi, what's going on? Why are all these Levites here? The rabbi, still groggy himself, says, I don't know either. Let's hear what they have to say. One of the 12 Levite priests standing before them walks forward and immediately begins speaking. This has never happened before, he said. Tomorrow is the Lord's Passover. A spotless lamb was ready to be slain and offered up for tomorrow's feast, but a makeshift wall fell on him, crushing his hind legs. Scripture says not a bone is to be broken. Yesterday, he continued, one of our brothers saw you on the street and noticed your unblemished animal. He told us how beautiful and perfect he is and well taken care of. Is he under a year? The rabbi answered with a nod. Then we ask you, the Levite pleaded, we implore you, will you give him up to be God's Passover lamb? With a lump in his throat, the rabbi, without speaking, turned, staring into his grandson's face for an answer. Zophar, with tears streaming down his cheeks, seizing all the strength he could muster, answered his grandfather and the many men at his feet by saying, if Jehovah needs him, I will let him go. The men moved quickly, grabbing Emmanuel by the old tattered rope, and were gone in seconds. There were no words at first, but after a few moments, when the rabbi pulls his grandson to his side, he reminds him, do you remember stealing those coins from me, my son? Zophar looks dead into his grandfather's teary eyes and slowly nods. Do you remember how sorry you felt when ye confessed your sin to me? Again, Zophar nods. The pain you are feeling now, the rabbi said, is the pain that Jehovah feels when we sin against him.